Yes, that's my cousin. Yeah, just sit down. Was that wrong, King? My cousin. Yes, from Georgia. Yes. So, Iblis, Allah says, to revealing to Muhammad for all of us, he said, Iblis became puffed up with pride. Puffed up with pride. Abba was stakbara. He refused to bow with the angels. To say with his bowing, I accept the man that you're creating, God. He refused. And his refusal established him before man had even been put on his mission. Just created, but not put in his mission or on his mission. Already, the great arch enemy was there. We think of the devil as a threat to man's life or his moral life or his obedience to God, but we don't think of him as the enemy of all mankind. That's what he is. He's the enemy of all mankind, because every person in the human family, no matter what the color, no matter what the level of advancement for that person, education-wise or material-wise, every person is created for the life environment of the Khalifa. For the life environment of the Khalifa. And you're not going to be satisfied in your souls until you have the life environment of the Khalifa. What is the life environment of the Khalifa? We can get a peep at it. God says that he created the man and he created him to be the Khalifa, and he's made to be of service to that man, meaning male and female, if you understand the religious language, the scriptural language, to be of service to that man, that Khalifa, whatever is in the sky and whatever is in the earth. The Genesis tells a similar story, and the Quran makes it more understandable. The Genesis said that he put the man in the garden and then charged the man with the responsibility to keep the garden. And he made everything, the trees and everything, for that man. The garden was made for that man. Yes. Don't think of a physical image. This flesh image. Don't think of that. That's not the form that God establishes in that great dignity of Khalifa. Not that form. Spirit behind our success. Don't forget what I'm talking about. That's my topic, the spirit behind our success. Life is concrete, physical, like this and my flesh and my clothes, these things, material. And life is abstract or transparent, like the air. You see through it. It doesn't hold an image for your physical eyes. What do you think is the better part of you? Your physical picture or your abstract picture? I hear some saying abstract picture. That is true. That is true. And if you think of yourself as a human being in human form, in a human body, in a human physical picture, but the best part of you is not that picture that shows up in the mirror, the material mirror, but the part that is transparent, you will be in a position to have happiness that you haven't experienced if you have not been thinking that way before. That pretty girl in Hollywood, that's recognized for her performance as an actress and her beauty. When the beauty starts to fade, often she loses her mind and may even commit suicide. Think how many lives that have gone to live in Hollywood that could have been saved if they had been told this truth that we are dwelling on right now. It's a truth that all of us know, really, but we don't give it much thought or attention with our minds. Yes? Life transparent is much more productive as tools or instruments than the life concrete that we can see as material. Dear people, believers, I was born a card-carrying member of the Nation of Islam. A lot of you don't know that. When I was born, a card was issued. And it said, Wallace D. Muhammad is a Muslim, a member of the Nation of Islam. To the law enforcement, it said, if you find him other than a Muslim, take his card and punish the said bearer. Punish the one who's carrying that card. That's what it said. You tell me I wasn't formed in a very special way by a very special environment? I was. Coming under this kind of language and held by the magnetic attraction that's in the Nation of Islam for blacks who lost their dignity, their carriage, etc. Oh, buddy, that's a very special environment. Whether for good or bad, it's a very special environment. Now, if it's for good, it's going to produce a very special people that will live and work for good, for goodness. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whose name was Poole before, so you might hear students of that, of the history of Nation of Islam referring to him now as Elijah Poole Muhammad. He built the Nation of Islam. However, his teacher, Mr. W.D. Farrar, conceived the idea. It was his idea. And that body's language. The term body refers to the Nation of Islam. The language of the Nation of Islam. Do you know all of us were kept from the world? Kept from the influences of the languages of the world? And I'm not talking about Spanish, English, no that. The languages of the world, we were kept from the influences of the languages of the world, their language of culture, their language of theology, their language of physics, etc. We were kept from the languages of the world. You couldn't convince us, no matter how much education you had from the world, you couldn't convince us that our idea of reality was not right. We can't do it now. Because of the powerful magnetism of the language environment that we were put in, that was created for us, for the new growth, for the new birth, for the new development of a people, being shaped and created all over again for a new and mighty role in the life of ourselves and in the life of mankind. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I know some of you are. But you don't have to be educated. I don't have college education. I only have 3 hours credit in English. And I did that so I could just speak a little bit and stop saying ain't you and I ain't studying you. I just wanted to kind of dignify it with my own tongue a little bit, you know. That's the only reason why I went there. Not that I don't want to go there. I wish I had the time to go to several colleges. I do.
and get several degrees. That's what I hunger for in my mind and intellect. I do. But I don't have time right now. The work in the field is too demanding for me to go away that long from this work. So I study on my own. Don't think I don't study. I study on my own. Like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did after he was awakened in his mind. He did a lot of self-study. He told me, he said, "Son, I didn't have a good penmanship. Didn't have a good hand. So I taught myself to write a good hand, penmanship." So Mr. Farad said to the members of the Nation of Islam, he said, "Listen to this, please, you students. Quote, to speak well, you must learn to put your mathematical theology in its proper terms." In its proper terms. So what is that saying? That the language I gave it to you, the terms that I have put it in, are improper. The challenge to your intellect is to now study it and put it in the proper terms. So it's problem solving, isn't it? That's problem solving. Your teacher gives you a problem. It's a problem. It's not worked. You have to then study that problem and work it out successfully and come up with the right conclusion or the right answer. So here's Farad giving us the language of the Nation of Islam and telling us that you will not be successful unless you learn to put your mathematical theology in its proper terms, or in the proper terms. Do you have any old soldiers here who memorize those? Stand up. Let me see how many here who memorize those and familiar with what I'm saying. Everybody that remember reading or hearing what I said, stand up. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. See, I don't have to bring fire down from heaven. I can bring fire up out of the earth. Short distance. Praise be to Allah. Now, let me continue. The point here is to share with you in this 25th year celebration an observation that enabled me to present the spirit behind our success long before there was an occasion for me to tell you about it. Yes, I've always known the spirit behind our success since the day that I became aware that I was to take a stand in this cause. I knew the spirit behind our success. I didn't know all the language. The language was still a great puzzle in my mind. I'm talking about the language of Mr. W. Farad. It was still a great puzzle in my mind, some of it, but I understood what was the spirit behind our success. It was my own humanity. There's a tape of me in 1955. A brother who's on my security had it in his possession, and he brought it, a copy of it, to me. I was amazed when I listened to myself as the guest speaker, invited by Malcolm X, to speak. And I think it was the Jersey area, New Jersey area. I'm pretty sure it was New Jersey area. And I spoke for about an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, for all that little time. And I'm listening to the tape just a couple of months ago, listening to it in my car, playing it on my tape recorder, on my audio tape recorder player. And I didn't say anything during all that time that I couldn't play to you right now and feel comfortable. Nothing against the Quran, nothing disagreeing with the Quran, nothing against the concept of God that we should have as Muslims, that's in the Quran. Nothing against Muhammad, nothing that would even make any believer think that I had some idea that conflicted with what Allah has said about Muhammad the Prophet. Nothing. And I'm telling you, I didn't know Imam W.D. Muhammad back then. But now I can tell you, Imam W.D. Muhammad, in 1955, was on the job. Doing a marvelous job of lifting up dead matter of African-American people so that it would become conscious of its destiny with its Lord. Yes. By doing what? By appealing to the powerful life force in the human being. Yes. The life force that is there and alive because of the will of God being in our creation. I was appealing to it, and the crowds were responding, the audience was responding to me. I was just talking about our humanity. I recall something of that right now that I said to them. I said, this world has deprived you of your original individuality. That's what I said to them. Your original individuality that God gave you. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wants you to have it back. That's what I said. What's wrong with that? I could say that in Mecca. Anywhere. Nobody will be disturbed. No. And I just kept addressing the need for us to awaken to the original identity. Because Muhammad was told to tell us, Elijah Muhammad was told to tell us, for his teacher told him to tell them that they are Muslims. That's their identity. They are Muslims. But I saw more in that statement than just Muslim. I didn't think he meant that we are Muslims in a religious sense only. I thought that he meant that our original nature, our original type, was Muslim. And that's exactly what Muhammad the Prophet left with us. So I came to see that the spirit that was working in us to keep us achieving against the charges against our own human world in a white supremacist world, the spirit moving in us to have us achieve was really the will of God inherent in our nature. And it was our true human identity. The true human identity is the effect of the will of God on your essence to form you in the pattern and in the picture God wants you to be. So we have a right of being called niggers and Negroes. We are dissatisfied even being called black. Now, a lot of you don't know that. But you are not satisfied being called black, and I know how good it makes you feel, brothers of the Nation of Islam. Yes, I'm a black man. Feel real good on the surface. But deep down there in your spiritual core, something is not yet satisfied. Because to say you're a black man is just to tell the white man, I'm now happy with my own color. That's what makes you feel so good. You can tell a white man now, he used to make you ashamed. Somebody call you black. I mean, when I was a boy, call another one of us black, and you got a fight on your hand. But it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad working the strategy that was left with him by his teacher, Mr. Farrar. It was that brought us not to be ashamed of black, the color black, and to wear it with pride. Mr. Soul, what is his name? James Brown. I saw him, got a chance to meet him in person. And I wanted to congratulate him. For what? For the song, I'm Black and Proud. So when I did, it looked like he just came to a standstill in his thoughts and sensitivity. Like I put him in limbo for a second. He was like dead, not existing. And then he said, look, came back alive. He said, it was your father who changed me and made me want to sing that song. But I'm trying to explain to you now why it's such a happy thing that you're with now. I'm black. It's because the white man has said for 400 years, at least 300 years, that black is a shame on humanity. That identity is a shame on the human person. So you want something to give you relief from that condemnation of your legitimate human worth. So when you're told you're black and proud and given some kind of logic behind it, oh, you're so happy to have it. But I repeat, deep down in the core of your life, in your soul, you're still not satisfied. Because you're more than black. You're much more than black. Before you were black, you were something else greater. Hey, what in the hell was that? Before you were African, you were something greater. You are a human being. That's the greatest identity that any creation can have. Nothing can be better in creation than that identity, human being. And all the other identities are to accumulate in response to that identity. I'm human, so I want to dress well. Now I have my pride, my cultural identity, my ethnic identity. Clothing, the first one, the human identity. So the ethnic identity is an expression, a growth, and an expression of my human identity. Necessary because I live in a material environment, and in a social environment. And I have to communicate in all of these forms or expressions. So my human identity has to communicate in the cultural life. It has to communicate in the political life. It has to communicate in the political life. It has to communicate in all of these lives. Distort the human identity, and all other identities are going to be distorted. Hurt the development of the human identity, and all the other developments are going to be hurt. Bring the person back to the true human identity, and he can start growing again, unfolding again, expressing himself again in all the other languages and forms. And they will all be beautiful. Every garment he throw upon his human form will be beautiful. Says in the, it was the Satan who caused you to slip out of the original dress. He caused your father to slip out of the original dress that he put him in. And what was that original dress? The dress of righteousness. The dress of righteousness. The human form is sacred. It becomes deformed if we put untruth and unrighteousness in it. That deforms it more than anything else. So if we want to keep the human form, we have to remain innocent in truth. And we have to remain morally good. Morally good. Loving moral excellence. And loving excellence that is compatible with our original human nature that God himself made. Yes. Yes, you are the original man. If you are in that form. In that form. Allahu Akbar. According to the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and the peace be upon him, who received the sacred book, the Quran, the term Muslim names man's prehistory, spiritual life or nature, as well as the person who has consciously accepted Islam as his way of life, the Quran as his book, and Muhammad as the messenger of God, his leader, his prophet. So Muslim means has two very important meanings in Islam. Muslim means one who follows the guidance of God, the Quran, and the prophet, the messenger. And Allah says, and obey God and obey his messenger. So those who follow that, they're Muslim. They're called Muslims. But long before there was a conscious Muslim and a system of knowledge to establish Muslim life on this planet, there was the inherent Muslim in your very creation. Your very creation is Muslim. The world of Western science calls this Homo sapiens. The world of science calls it human being in the prehistory form of state. But the world of religion, especially the Quran, calls it Muslim. Every child is born Muslim, and circumstances make the child something else. That's the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, verified in the record. Hadith collected by Bukhari, a Russian, way in the early centuries of Islam, and by the other scholar, the other researcher, collector of hadith, pardon me, Muslim, Bukhari and Muslim. Now, if you have to go out to eat, I won't permit it. I know you can't be facing starvation that soon, because I saw some of you eating breakfast like you wasn't going to have lunch. The terms Muslim and Islam are derived from the verb aslama, aslama, which means to be resigned to be at peace. Resigned to be at peace. That means it is your comfort. It is your human comfort to be at peace. It's not something that you impose upon your spirit or upon your life against its will. It is something that your own life and will wants to be in as a state for your life, a state of peace. So resigned to peace, that's what it means. Now, the Quran on the origin of al-Islam explains this existence of this kind of state or this kind of person in his soul, in his prehistory soul. When I say prehistory, I mean before man learned to have a society, before man had learned to write and record things, when man was yet what they call primitive, not having a refined language, etc. This was already his nature. The nature to want to be connected with his God and to be in a state of peace for his soul. When you study the development and growth of societies from so-called primitive order to advanced orders, you see man forming as a spiritual community before he forms as any other kind of community. That's because he is originally spiritual. The will of God influence on him makes him spiritual. He's originally spiritual. And scripture says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. God made you to be spiritual in the beginning. And after this world of materialism warped your spiritual life, deprive you of your humanity, again you're going to have to be revived, recreated again with the word of God and his will and his word to again become a spiritual community. So Islam is a spiritual community. the Ummah of the Prophet. It is the spiritual community returning us back to our original identity. That abstract picture that's much more important than the material or concrete picture. So Allah says in the Quran, God that is, that there be not any altering in the pristine nature created by God. In Arabic it says, this religion, Islam, deen al-fitratu allati fatara an-nasa alayha la tabdila fi khalqillah. This religion of Islam is a religion of the origin. The religion of the origin, the beginning, in the garden, the paradise. That which he patterned human society upon. God patterned human society upon. La tabdila fi khalqillah. Let there be no changing, no altering in the pristine nature created by God. So God revealed to Muhammad that he created human beings correct, not inferior, not sinful. He created you perfect in your original type that was in the garden of paradise before you were seduced out of your form by the Satan. And that this religion that he's given you now is not something taken from scholars, not something from taken from idealists and imposed upon your original self, but it is a complement to your original self. God knows what complements the original pattern he created. So he's given you that complements the original pattern that he created, so you will grow on that pattern and be happy and feel self-fulfilled. Feel that you have been completed for the first time as a person. W.D. Farrar did not give us religion. You hear that, brother? W.D. Farrar did not give us religion. But it affected us the way religion affects us. But he did give us the sacred book, the Quran. And he gave us a knowledge of that there were other Muslims, that there were many Muslim nations on this earth. And he did give us a desire to be connected with them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say over and over again, when he spoke weekly at the temple, brother. He said, when you join the Nation of Islam, you automatically become a member in all the nations of Muslims on this earth. Isn't that what he thought? You automatically become a member, he said, in all the nations of Muslims. So he taught us and gave us a desire to be connected and one with all Muslims on earth. That means Arabia, Egypt, wherever we are, Nigeria, Pakistan, every place. So we had it subtly put in us, because that other magnetism was so powerful, we couldn't even hear clearly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying. When he said it when you were first coming anyway, when you first came, you were so mesmerized, I doubt you could hear y'all anything. And you join, and you become a member of the Nation of Islam, you become a member, a citizen, pardon me. He said citizen, of every Muslim country on this earth. Yes, he gave us the Quran and he gave us a connection with all other Muslims.
But strangely, Mr. Farrar was told to use, pardon me, but strangely, Mr. Farrar told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to use the Bible of the Christian world, to give us, who were called so-called Negroes by Farrar at that time, a new way of thinking reality, and hence another mind that would more forcefully search the path to the freedom, or to its freedom, or to the freedom of the African-American people.
Affected like that. That's I'm speaking from my own personal experience. That's the way it affected me. And I know some of you all didn't come in there in the Nation of Islam to have a full life, to have a new life, to have a full life, to know who you are and to know what your relationship is with God, matter, and man. So a lot of you didn't come in with that. But the way I was born in the Nation of Islam was already existing when I was born. My father was already preaching the message given to him by his teacher, Mr. Farrar, when I was born. I was born in 1933. And it affected me. I don't know how it affected all of you. I'm sure it affected some of you all the way it affected me. I know. Because I can look in your eyes, and you can see. You can look in a man's eyes. And if he's just like you inside, or what's staring in him is just what's staring in you, you recognize that. And even as a boy, I recognized that John Hassan, the investigator in Chicago, Nation of Islam investigator, temple investigator, John Hassan, and a few others that I knew, and I looked at their faces, I knew the same thing that was moving in me was moving in them. But the majority of you, I don't think you had that. But thank God you did have an interest in to make you join, because if you didn't, we wouldn't have all these numbers here now. But there's just a few of us had that desire for the whole life that God created for us. We didn't want part of it. We wouldn't be happy in our souls until we had all of it. That was in me. That was moving in me. Now, would you believe me if I told you that I'm still on the introduction? I haven't even started on the body. But I'm telling you that now because long ago, an hour ago, I realized that you don't need anything but the introduction. You don't need to know what we're going to do in the future. You need to understand the past. That's what got you locked up and held back and chained. You need to know the past. I'll tell you about the future next time. Now, to summarize this opening, see, I had to say that. I couldn't say that without letting you know. To summarize this opening, my own strenuous and deeply penetrating studies. Now, if you don't believe that I was deeply involved, totally involved in the study of the environment of the Nation of Islam, its language environment, because that's where the life is, that's where the grip is, that's what you were contained in, you were contained by, the language of the Nation of Islam. And not only you, every people are contained in language. Are by language, every people. And they are formed by language. You can't even be formed as a human person, intelligent human person, unless you learn to speak the language of your order or your society. This is science. Just recently I read in the Chicago paper that a mother, awfully deranged, it had to be, kept her little daughter like in prison at home in a baby-like environment for 13 years. After 13 years, they discovered this girl, and they are wondering now, can this girl develop?
Can her intelligence develop? Can her mind develop? Can she develop as a member, a conscious member of society, of a human society? They're wondering. I pray Allah that she can recover. It hurt me so bad. I had to turn the news off. I just turned the TV off. It was too painful to keep listening. That this poor girl had been kept back from development, from a chance to develop as a human person and grow with a human intellect and a social nature, had been kept from that by her mother, my own mother. The type of environment, slave environment, most of our foreparents were in on the plantations of cruel slave masters was designed to do just that. Keep you from human growth so that you could work as animals in the fields for them. You all should never stop rejoicing in your souls that help came. And this powerful white America had to let us go. Thank you. So my own deep, strenuous studies, penetrating studies, in the Nation of Islam's language, a study that went on for me for more than 40 years, for at least 40 years, yes? Brought me to observe and discover that Mr. Farrar, the one we call Savior and God in person under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, in planning our independence and our Independence Day, now you listen to this, he planned, he worked hard, he sacrificed. From his family, he left his family, he sacrificed his time, he separated from all other interests and devoted himself completely to working a strategy that would bring us to a mind that would free us and establish us as independent thinkers. The most important activity of the intellect, which is the most important life of the human being, is what? The power, the freedom, the ability to think, and to think for your own interest. Think for your own interest. We were deprived of that as a people. And it was Mr. Farrar who labored hard with a strategy to bring us out of that condition white supremacy world put us in, so that we could stand up and not be his followers. Mr. Farrar had no interest in us following him. He was a true liberator. A true liberator don't liberate you for you to follow him. A true liberator liberates you so you can be free to follow God. To come under the supreme authority of God and be slave to none but God. That's a true liberator. To plan this deliverance, he grafted his own methodology. I say grafted because his methodology is not original when you study it, as I have. You will see that it has traces of this and that in it. He got it, he collected it from the environment that he was in Detroit, Michigan, in the United States of America. And I already mentioned Noble Drew Ali, Frederick Douglass, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, and Booker T. Wilder. I mentioned all of them already. They had us divided. Some choosing Booker T. Wilder, his thinking. Others choosing Du Bois, his thinking. Some following Drew Ali, his religious idea. Some following Father Divine, his religious idea.
But all of these men were appealing to those who had become discontented and had given up hope that the white world would ever give them justice. All of these men were appealing to those who had become distrustful of Americans' leadership and were ready to have something different. So these men were there, and Farrar looked at them because he wanted the same people. Mr. Farrar wanted the people who had become discontent. Or as the Bible say, go out and find that donkey that has no tie on him. And if anybody asks, what are you doing taking that donkey? Tell them the master has use for him. That's the Bible. And Farrar, acting in the role of that man, said the same thing. How do we know that? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you are our baby people. Nobody wanted you but our Savior. Isn't that what he said? So you were donkeys, priests, going about with no collar, no indication that a master owned you. You were without anyone to claim you. Just going about like donkeys with no masters. And just like the Savior of the Bible, of the New Testament, Farrar told Don Elijah Muhammad, he said, don't try to get the educated ones. He said, that talented tenth, that was Du Bois' influence on the intellectuals in black America during that time, during the early 30s. He said, that talented tenth, he said, they are little bloodsuckers of the big bloodsuckers. That's what he said. So for a long time, during the 30s, during the 40s, and even during the 50s, we didn't have them among us. We didn't have black intellectuals among us. It was only when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad changed his focus from Nation of Islam's secret, or I would say special, teachings to getting something of material, to have a material showing to impress more African Americans to be attracted to the Nation of Islam. It was only then, in 1947, he started that. By 1949, we heard the message. By 1952, we were all hearing the message. By 1955, Malcolm had made the message spread all over the United States. Now, yes. So, praise be to Allah. Yes. So, you see, this teacher of my father, he had the same strategy, the same plan. He wanted to build his new world with material that had not been influenced and made obedient to the thinking of the church or the white man's world. But they were free to break with the church and the white man's world because they were dissatisfied with their existence and didn't believe that white America, this government, would ever give them justice. Those were the ones that he wanted, and he took them. And the story is told in many ways. I don't have time to tell you all of that in the lessons that's given in the Nation of Islam. So he grafted his own methodology and used it, made it become the lifeline in our thinking and in our feelings and sentiments to free us and really bring us to a complete freedom, free us mentally. He emphasized mental resurrection, mental life, mental resurrection. Farrar and Elijah did not belittle, and this is what I came to discover, did not belittle the freedom spirit of our freedom fighters up from slavery,
Frederick Douglass and all the rest, but made of us new bottles. I'm using scripture language, Bible. New bottles for a new and stronger wine of the grapes from the old vineyard. Spirits with a new psychological twist. But of the grapes of the old vineyard. Many years back in the Nation of Islam, I can recall at the temple singing a song. This used to be regular routine. Every time we had the major meeting on Sunday, we had to sing a song. I won't give you all the song, but just this part. We are united with our nation, and we will soon be free. So you tell me that Mr. Farrar didn't tap into the freedom stream of Frederick Douglass and all the rest? Yes, he did. He wasn't appealing to any new hunger in our souls. He was appealing to all hunger in our souls. And he woke up Wallace D. Muhammad. In the manner of my brother, who used to be assistant supreme captain of Nation Islam, Elijah, I want to speak to old timers, Elijah. Old soldiers, that's his language. Old soldiers, do you know from what vineyard Savior Farrar gathered grapes to make that drink with that new twist? From the vineyard of a people up from slavery. Yes, the grapes of our own soul. Yes, it was. So Mr. Farrar was kind of bartender, wasn't he? Yes, he was. And he made a powerful mix. He mixed the stimulants of Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Father Divine, Noble Drew Ali. He mixed all of them together and came up with one to really hook us. Oh boy, have we become addicted. What did the trick was an extracted story of the origin. I said extracted because God has blessed me in my searching for over 40 years to find traces of even his Yaku history that we thought was just a completely new composition. It's not. That story of the origin of the world and the origin of man. This powerfully magnetic story of creation was not to be found in any books anywhere, not in its composition that we read it. But you can find, as I say, I found pieces of it here and there. There is no force more powerful than the will in man, in us, in man, to rise up against our worth and our identity as the creation of God, against the lie wrongfully, or statement wrongfully made against our validity, our legitimacy as a human creation equal with all human creation made by God. Nothing is more powerful than that. The life force is checked by these lies. And the life force is the strongest force in human beings, or in any animal, in anything for that matter. It's our strongest force. And here you have checked my life force with your lies. They say truth crushed to the ground shall rise again. Well, what is the greatest truth in human life? It is the truth of my reality that God gave me. That's the greatest truth. And if you lie to me concerning that reality, the greatest force in humanity
rise up against it. That's the force to prove my creation right and legitimate. You wonder why the Nation of Islam can get these young men that nobody else can get and do with them what nobody else can do. It is because the message and strategy of the Nation of Islam for taking the person out of the world they're in and putting them in a new language environment is more powerful and more appealing to blacks that are still lost in their souls from that destination that they were created for. And when they hear the language of the Nation of Islam, they can't help but follow it like zombies. There's no criticism, but like zombies. Zombies, this is myth, you know what I mean? This is fiction, not reality now. Well, some people think it's real, though. Some southern people, different parts of America, they think it's real. The zombie, when the right occurrence happens in the environment, the zombie wakes up. And he's not conscious of what's affecting him. But he's compelled to keep going until he gets where he has to go. It might be to you. I saw a picture of a zombie had to go to a person that it was once connected with before, and the person died not because the zombie killed it. The zombie was just coming to hug it. When he saw that zombie, he had a heart attack and he died. Okay. There is no force more powerful than the will in a wrongfully done person or oppressed person to prove their legitimacy at the wellspring of human life. The life force that wants compelling you to know, be the person God made you to be. Conform to the pattern for your creation that God made. That's powerful. The spirit behind our success is our ennobling human spirit. That spirit that wants to establish us in the excellence, in the nobility that we were created for. It is the spirit of the refiner in our own life. See, that original life and self is the refiner in the life. It's the refiner in the life. And it wants to purify your moral life. It wants to give more spirit to your human spirit, to your human spirit you get from the world, from your mother and the world. It wants to give its spirit to that spirit so that you will really be powerful to meet the challenges of life before you. It wants to strengthen your appetite or make you more hungry, really, for your destiny with God. It wants to make you more hungry. So it works as a refiner inside of that life forces, as a refiner. This is the life urge. That refiner urges us on and on to be better and to have larger and larger achievements for not only ourselves, but also for our group, our people who have been put down. Understand this, we were never put down as individuals. We were never put down as individuals. There were always individuals that the white man took to their side and loved them, treated them like sons and daughters. But it was the people, it was us as a group that was really put down. And by the group being put down, the burden fell on even that individual that the white man took to his side. Because he was conscious that he was a member of the group. And no matter how well off he was as an individual, his knowledge that he was a member of the group
weighed heavily on his mind and soul, because he knew that he could never be respected until his people were respected. And that's still the case. We can never have individual, personal, separate, private respect until we have that as a group. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew, and he preached to us to have us do what Islam wants us to do, and that is feel it your personal, private, individual duty and life interest to develop yourself and improve yourself so that the whole is improved. The ultimate aim or the ultimate result or the ultimate reward is not for me as an individual. It is for me as a member in a group. Now, if Muslims all over the world would respond to that, would be conscious of that obligation on many Muslim individuals, that we are not to live our private lives, our separate lives, for only individual and personal gain or results. We are to do this so that the whole Ummah of Islam, the international community of Muslims, will be improved and come closer and closer to fulfilling its obligation to God and to Muhammad the Prophet, to be the model community, the nation, the model community under God, a witness to all other communities for God, a community of excellence, a community of justice, a community of righteousness, obedience to the one Lord that has no slaves, but give up all slaves so that they can be free to serve God. This is the beautiful picture of human life that Islam wants for us on this earth. And we are conditioned for Islam. I agree with Minister Farrakhan, and I agree with the teachers of the Nation of Islam now, the present teachers, that we have been conditioned to be the best followers of Islam, to be that group that God says, and let that come out of you, meaning out of the Muslims, a group. Doing all that is good, refusing to do what is bad, witnesses for God, and not fearing the criticism of any criticizer. So I conclude with these words. It is not freedom from material restraints on us. It's freedom from all restraints on us in our effort to please our God. If any restraints are on us, holding us back from our life urge, which wants to satisfy our God, form into the man and woman that God created us to be. If any restraints on it, that life force is working against it and is greater than any other. Don't you know the moral life is greater than immoral life? The proof of it is there's more moral life than immoral life. Yes, it is, whether you know it or not. Yes, it is. And people that want to produce, they are more powerful than people that just want to have pleasures and fun. The best pleasure can only be had by the producer. Yes, I pity people who just want to live for pleasure. When you live to produce, then you have to establish yourself to get the best pleasures, the fullest amount of pleasures. Yes. For if you really want to have the fullest amount of happiness, be a true Muslim and work for self and others. Work for the whole community life. Do that, and you have the greatest amount of happiness. This is so rewarding, and to me, this work is so makes me so happy. I get no happiness equal to this from any other thing, or any other activities or efforts. No, this is my happiness. This is my happiness. This is my paradise. That's why God says, "Enter you, my worker." His servant means my worker. Pleased and pleasing. Mean you will please your God and you will please with yourself. So happiness comes because I have done my job that God assigned to me. I have obeyed him and worked as he wanted me to work. And my work has given me happiness in my soul and made myself pleasing to me. And God says, "Now, servant, you are also pleasing to me." Pleased and pleasing. So this urge in us, this power inside of us that begins with our own identity, true identity, needing to free itself from false charges against it, it manifests itself as it goes on, or as we have an opportunity to live in society. It manifests itself as a new social spirit, a new community spirit. And that's why we are so happy today. It's because we are in the new social spirit. We're in the new community spirit. It is a higher expression and a larger expression of that life urge that comes from the original self, the original Muslim. He says, give them this question. And what is my own self? He didn't say the answer is my own self is an African. He didn't give an answer, my own self is a black man. He said, and to give them this question, Elijah, what is my own self? He said, and give them the answer. My own self is a righteous Muslim. So I invite you, I urge you, from this day forward, to not to take the name for your species from science. Your species is not Homo sapien. That's a later development in your nature. You become Homo sapien once you come in contact with matter. Once you're freed from your mother's womb, you begin to grow to be a Homo sapien. But before history, before the deliverance from the womb, you were Muslim, having a life force in your body that God put there by his will to serve his will. And you'll never be at peace fully until you have that form again and be conscious of it. So I never think of myself as Homo sapien in my original life body. I think of myself as Muslim in my original life body. And that is why Muhammad the Prophet said, peace be upon him, every child is born Muslim. Don't have to be made a Muslim. Every child is born Muslim. And it is the environment that he's put in that makes him a Christian, a Jew, or something else. This is what our Prophet has taught us. So be happy. Be happy. The day of deliverance is here. Freedom is here. Yes. We are free completely. Do you have enough time for me to read a little poem to you? Let me read a little poem to you. I call it Rescued. You didn't know I was a little amateur poet, did you? Yes, I am. I call it Rescued. When I awoke in my morning, it was 7:23. Slowly I started to reach the ideas I strained through my night to see. I stood up trembling in my knees and saying, how wonderfully, how rejuvenating it is for the oppressed to rest their minds in thee. From the sins of men who consciously eat from that forbidden tree. Your words only, O God, made the rescue to rescue us from that tree. We would have been there still long after 5:25 p.m.
we would have been out of the way still at that enslaving, grinding mill without a way to survive. Only your word could clear our name to break the chains. Only a spirit from thee could have us see how to set our whole life free. Thank you.